ER101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER101. Well, for our medical news of the week, there was an interesting article in the New York Times that talked about where's that advanced care directive, and especially in emergency rooms where we deal with life and death situations all the time. It's an important question and aspect. So I'm lucky enough to have my next guest on to talk about it, Dr. Dan Morheim. He's a board-certified emergency physician. He has been a longtime state legislator in the state of Maryland. He's on faculty at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, and he's the author of a book that talks about this issue called The Better End. Welcome, Dr. Morheim. Thank you for being here.
Great to be with you.
So, you know, this was a very good blog, and it was in the New York Times, and it talked about, you know, as patients arrive in the emergency room and in different situations, and it really, you know, had me thinking about your book, which I read, which I thought was fabulous. And tell me a little bit about how you got involved with this issue to the point where you needed to write a book about it.
Thank you, Lee, and it's great to be with you. First, as a clinician, as you are in emergency medicine, it became increasingly obvious that so much of what we deal with was end-of-life care. And I found myself at times doing things to patients because no one had completed advance directive, free, legal, straightforward paperwork, legal in every state and around for 20 years. And I found myself intubating patients, doing advanced, you know, full ACLS, advanced cardiac life support, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, putting in central lines, and I knew, and everybody around the bedside, the nurses and the staff all knew that this was going to be a futile effort. At best, we might help some 95-year-old nursing home patient who'd been demented for a long time, you know, survive for a few hours or maybe a few days. Also, I have witnessed many times families getting into terrific conflicts with each other when there's a sick relative, maybe at the end of life, and no one had thought through the kinds of choices that they want. So for humanitarian reasons, but then frankly also for some financial reasons, although the humanitarian is always the most important, it became obvious to me that we need to increase the rate of completion of advanced directives. Now, we did a study at Hopkins, and only about a third of us have completed these, even though I'm, you know, 100% of us are going to die, and it's much lower in the minority population. So the empowerment or upside to this discussion, the values basis of this discussion, is that we are the first generation in human history that likely has some say about how we die. And therefore, we can direct aspects of care that no one before us has had. We have all the great technological advantages of modern medicine, but there comes a point where it doesn't work anymore. There's nothing left to be done. And how we approach that, I think, is a very singular and unique human personal decision.
Yes, and do you think it also speaks to our societal concepts in the United States about death and dying? If you look at other countries, or you know, you mentioned a cultural difference even between African Americans and Caucasian. So, I mean, what do you think it is? I mean, do we have this? We can't really talk about death. I mean, we hardly ever do.
Yeah, it's a great taboo, but it's unavoidable, obviously, for a couple of reasons. But another point is that many people in the baby boom generation, which I am in, are now facing these decisions for themselves, right, and their parents or their grandparents. So folks are beginning to see that this is not an outlier or rare event. Because of the advances in technology, people are living longer, happier, better lives. I mean, I've seen in the emergency room where many years ago when I got started, if we saw a patient was over 90, it was kind of noteworthy. Now it's very routine. And the decisions are becoming more complicated and more common about what kind of care to deliver. Yes, we have a taboo about talking about death and dying, but we have an opportunity now also to manage it in a more intelligent and foresightful way. By the way, 80% of Americans die over time. Only 20% of us die suddenly. So most of us are going to find that we're going to be in this situation sooner or later for ourselves or for our loved ones, and we might as well approach it with the greatest intelligence possible.
Yeah, and do you think, I mean, this is going to come to task because as the baby boomers age, I mean, you know, they are just a huge number of people that all together are going to come into the healthcare system. And, you know, there's going to be an issue related to that anyway, you know, as far as services and, you know, declining numbers of doctors. And so I know that that's a big concern for healthcare. Do you think that also in the medical community, it seems like a failure? Is that part of it? What, you know, as to why maybe physicians don't push their patients and things like that? I mean, is it perceived as a failure? Because, like, you know, we're doctors. We can fix anything.
I think that's part of it. Of course, people have those expectations from, you know, TV and media where they see doctors saving folks all the time. You know, it's interesting also in our culture, besides our aversion to talking about death and dying, which is, of course, understandable, we're also a culture that greatly values individual autonomy and personal decision-making.
Yeah.
And so here we have an opportunity to complete advanced directives, also known as living wills, medical power of attorneys. They're readily available from many sources, state attorney general's offices, any hospital. They're ones specific to different religious persuasions. They're easy to get. They're well worked out. They're legal. Most of the time, you don't even need a lawyer. You don't need a lawyer at all, unless you want to talk about that with a lawyer. But most people want to talk about it with a healthcare practitioner. And I think only in about 7 states do you even need it to notarize. Otherwise, it can just be 2 witnesses. So, you know, you read the form, you want to think about it, but then to fill it out takes 5 minutes. You check a few boxes and sign your name. And I think if more people complete advanced directives, we in the healthcare delivery front lines would see them more often and be more comfortable honoring them. There certainly is an issue with health providers not honoring advanced directives the few times they ever get to see them. We ever get to see them. And so that is an issue. But you're right. We're acculturated to don't let the person die on my watch. You know, if the patient dies, it's a failure. And we should be instead saying, patients are going to die. Let's afford them the best kind of circumstances possible and also use palliative care and hospice care, which also provide a great deal of comfort to families and also, you know, do so in a way that respects spiritual and personal values.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know in your book, I think that's where I read this, or almost a quarter of the money of Medicare's budget is spent on an individual in their last 6 months of life. And we know that that's the issue with healthcare and healthcare dollars, and I want to talk about that more. But what do you say to people who say, well, what if they've lived a healthy life and then, okay, they get sick, so of course that's where all their medical care and their expenses are going to be. And when we have a minute, we're going to come back and talk about this. But I want to hear your thoughts on, yeah, that's when I get sick is when my healthcare dollars are going to be spent. So it's an interesting thing, but there are people that, you know, if you've lived a healthy life, you don't spend a lot of healthcare dollars. So
reason to deal with all this is personal and humanitarian, but yes, we need to talk about the money too.
Yeah. So it's a very interesting topic, and we're lucky to have Dr. Morheim here to talk about it. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well.